Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, another quiet week on the politics. This is unusual. We get to talk about finance and getting out of debt.
Yeah, I know, but I was going to hit you with this. I was listening to something, NPR, get them props.
Cause that's my station, man.
And it was like, Trump had some lawyers, and they didn't show up.
Oh, they all quit.
Then the three he had that was his lawyers for life, they was like, hey, man, we can't do this one.
No, this is way above the pay grade that we need.
So then he got two other some miscellaneous guys to do the case.
Right, for his impeachment trial.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know what happened here recently is a lot of the Republicans that were vocal behind him have changed their tune now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and they said behind closed doors, they're saying they're going to vote for the impeachment. So the Republican Party is really starting to get it. Yep. It's that he took us down a path that we really didn't want to go down. And our constituents don't really care about it. There's a certain segment that do. But for the most part, those people that are true Republicans understand that there's only a difference in philosophy as far as their political beliefs, but not to the point where we're going to start, you know, overthrowing the government like they did in Russia, right?
Right.
You've seen what's happening in Russia, where they locking all these people up. And that's really what he wanted to do. He wanted to be on that level. But this country won't take that. Nope, not the Republicans or the Democrats. So I was glad to see that a lot of those folks woke up. And the guy from Grand Rapids, my hat is off to him.
Meyer, yes.
He had a town hall meeting last night, and he told him why he defended what he did, and he's going to stick to it. That's cool, man.
He going to gain some fans. When it's time for his election to come up, I guarantee people going to vote for him. I'm voting for him.
I know I would. Yes, sir, man. And the lady from Cheney from Wyoming, they was down on her.
Yep.
And now they're all getting behind her saying, nope, you was right, we were wrong. We support what you did, because she was another one that voted for the impeachment.
And that's what I respect, people not going with the status quo. I respect that, Tony. I totally do. Like, trust your heart. Make a decision with your heart, not with your mind.
Yeah, you got to have morals, man. You got to have standards. It's just some things you don't compromise. You know, and that's one of them. When this guy go after the government, the establishment, because it's all about him, that's foolish. If you follow this guy, it's a cult. And we're bigger than that as a country. But yeah, that's been kind of quiet, you know. There's not been a lot of news being made since old Trump is gone.
But I know we had the stock market thing with GameStop and AMC and the silver and Doggy Dog WorldCoin and
right.
With Elon Musk saying stuff and making things trend on the stock market. He probably I got the magic wand. So what's going on now, Tony?
Well, a lot of the shakeout has settled. You know, for instance, like GameStop, right?
Yes,
$483 per share at the height, which was last week. Today it closed at $57.30. So a lot of people made money, and the people that got paid were the individual investors that drove the price up because of the margin calls that all the big shots on Wall Street was holding. So that's who got the money. The guys, the little guys got the money from the big street, from the Wall Street fat cats. All right? And the same thing with AMC, the same thing with silver. It's just now that these platforms and social media has been able to, you know, crack the armor of some of these fat cats on Wall Street. GameStop is nowhere near a company that's going to survive. Okay? Not going to happen. Only because their motto does not support what is happening in society, where you got to go into the building physically to purchase a game or to exchange a game. And most of the games they got are, you know, older games, outdated games, where now you can download them off the cloud. A lot of guys share them through through the storage.
Or dark web.
Dark web. What they did do right before the pandemic, and it was kind of neat, where they were having, like, parties, game parties, where people would come in and they would play each other. But because of the pandemic, that shut them down.
Those tournaments, video game tournaments.
Yeah, they had a little niche they were starting to grow. But when the pandemic came, it shut them down. And we don't know how long it'll be before they can get back to that kind of a model, whether or not they can survive. Because they're closing stores as we speak, man. There's just not the traffic. They don't have the necessary people to support these brick and mortars.
It's like Blockbuster. Like, why would I go to Blockbuster when I can just
stream them?
Like, Family Video here is going by a lot of business. They're about to go.
I was on the east side of the state a couple weeks ago, and I seen a Family Video. Same thing it is here. The store is closing. They tried, you know, and I went in and bought some, you know, rented some videos just to try to help out. But I knew they were too far gone. You know, people have now got hooked on this streaming platform and able to get
everything,
the movies, yeah, in the comfort of their home. And theaters are trying to make a comeback. It'll be interesting. They have more of a shot at it than I think the rentals, only because it's more of an entertainment activity where people want to go out, yeah, you know, pick a date.
Like a movie like I can't do it. Like, and I respect Marvel. I can't watch a Marvel movie at home. I got to watch it at the theater.
The cinema, the big screen, the sound, you know, that's what it's about. That's the experience, you know, and that's the hope of the movie theaters being able to make a comeback.
And then I see the movie theater trying to be inventive, because I'm a movie guy, Tony. Like, every Tuesday, I might go next Tuesday, or depending on this weather outside right now.
Woo-hoo.
And this show going to run on Saturday. I might go Saturday because. And I usually go by myself. My wife don't like going to the theater, so I'm like, give me some popcorn, had a whole theater to myself.
Right.
The Denzel Washington movie that's out. Go see that. But they are doing where they're saying you can rent a whole theater by yourself or just with your family.
Right. And they're doing an HBO, like an HBO Max, where I haven't looked at what the subscription is, but it's pretty much the movies that are at the theater, you're able to buy them at home if that's what you want to do. But I know there's going to be a premium versus just going to, you know,
$19 higher.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, Hollywood's trying to get creative in order to save their industry as well.
Because you got to think, when you talk about the actor in the movie, that's just the top grade, like the NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
What about the guy that cooked the popcorn?
Okay.
What about the guy that can't clean the seats?
Clean the seat. Take your ticket.
Your young lady that take your ticket.
Concession, you know.
Who shove out the parking lot?
Yeah.
Who clean the movie theater when you gone?
Yeah, that's all a part of that movie expense, right?
Who purchase the movies and bring them to the theater?
Yeah.
And put them on a reel.
And, you know, depending on who's in the movie, the kind of money that these actors require to do the movie. So the production company's got to make sure that they recoup the money enough to pay, you know, to make a profit.
You're exactly right. So it's like, man.
Yeah, a lot of dynamics, man. A lot of dynamics in this pandemic era that we're living in. And even with the vaccine, I think we are another year away from unlimited, if you will, capacity in venues, be it sports arenas, movie theaters, nightclubs, what have you. I think at least for another year, you're going to see capacity limits now.
Because like you said, there's no way everybody will get the vaccination. So you got to figure out that, have we vaccinated enough people where everybody's immune system is strong enough to deal with somebody that got it?
Right.
Like it's like in the common cold, a killer. The flu, a killer.
Oh, yeah.
Pneumonia's a killer.
Yeah.
But like, he got COVID, he died of COVID. Like, okay, well, he got sick. That's what it's going to be. It's a new disease. Say he got COVID, man. He got the flu.
He got, and that's it, man. I mean, we know people have that. It wasn't the numbers that we see now with COVID. But, yeah, there's always been people that have died of influenza.
Yep. So, moving on, going into sports, where we going to, like, really talk about the money. Sports is the contact sports in the winter about to jump off.
Yeah, that came out today where the governor took some heat. Of course, they shifted it to the Department of Health and Human Services as far as demanding that we have to take these precautions.
Yes, sir.
But ultimately, it comes back to the governor. And they said, I think, Monday, February the 8th, but there will be mask required throughout that contest. Limited fan capacity. So you're still at about 250, which is almost, you know, almost average probably for a high school basketball game, unless it's really some kind of a marquee matchup. So that should work out. And again, even if you attend, you still got to have your mask. Okay, even if you're in the facility. And if you don't, I think you'll be asked to leave.
There it is. So, hey, that's going big. And, man, it's a lot of things. The student loan thing is still up. You don't know what they're going to do. The bill, of you're going to give people $1,400 or you're going to change it to $50,000, $1,000. It's like rich people determining if you're going to get somebody a nickel.
Right. Yeah, rich folks making a decision for poor people. And, you know, I don't think everybody should get it, right? I really don't.
Right, I don't.
I think there are certain people that income levels are to the point when they are still gainfully employed where their spending habits probably haven't changed a whole lot. But there are other folks that are truly struggling to pay their rent, their mortgage, their gas, their light, potentially health insurance, daycare. There's a lot of people that still need help on that level. And I would rather make sure that they get the help versus a guy that's making $250,000 a year and don't really need the money.
Don't really need the money. Because what he going to do, he gonna invest it. He going to do something.
Right. Yeah, it's discretionary income now. This is mad money. I can go out here and buy some of that risky stock I've been thinking about. This money is dollar pennies from heaven, you know. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about life insurance and coronavirus, right?
Right. How does that affect your industry?
Well, it's really interesting from the standpoint that they haven't came up with all of the underwriting rules and regulations now for people that have had COVID. And although we do know that there are still underlining conditions, even if you're a survivor, but it's coming.
It's called long COVID.
Yeah.
It's called long COVID.
Yeah. It's coming.
But your lungs weak, brain fatigue, heart. Stamina is off. You got to build your stamina back.
And they were talking about some of the reasons why an insurance company would deny a claim for COVID. And it would be if you traveled to a region that had a heavy outbreak of COVID, and if you applied for a life insurance policy, it's on there. That question is on there. Do you plan to travel abroad, right? And you said no. But yet you take a trip to, you went to the United Kingdom or you went to China, right? Where there's a concentration of this pandemic, you may not, your family, your survivors may not get paid. All right, because there's a two-year window of contestability. So it basically said that you gave false information, that you weren't traveling abroad, in which you did. I don't think it'll be that, you know, you won't see a huge percentage of it, but that's just one of the cases that came up. And, you know, life insurance companies are in business to make money, okay, just like any other business. And they're definitely seeing an increase in claims. I think last year it was like, in total for the industry, it was like $80 billion that was paid out in life insurance claims, and they expect more to come. And that's one of the reasons why you will definitely see some changes in the underwriting rules for life insurance. So if you have any plans on getting life insurance, I'd say this is a really good time to get it, because there's going to be some scrutiny going forward only because of COVID-19.
Man, that's rough. Yep. Like, I was reading something, we were talking about strategies to tackle debt, and I got a quote I want to quote. The U.S. saw more than 65,000 COVID-19 hospitalizations between March 1st and October 24th when they first jumped off, right?
Okay.
Now it says, according to the data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, nationally, the average charge for a hospital stay for COVID-19 patient was $73,300 for one person.
Do the math. That's a lot of money when you do the number of people, not the ones that just died. But I think in this country, we were well over 2 million people, maybe 3 million
that had it.
That had it.
400,000 died. So you add that number anyway, because that means they live their time in that hospital.
Right.
They got the 73,000.
They ran the bill up. Yeah, that's a lot of money, man. These insurance companies again. They have to pay for health insurance.
People had, I know out of them 65,000, somebody had liability insurance.
Yeah. And then talking about liability, I had a customer email me today where a lot of insurance companies now are, before they would insure you as a business for infectious type of a disease, right? Where you, if somebody worked for you and they got infected from a disease by one of the components that you use in your process, yes, they would possibly pay for that. But behind COVID, they're taking that off the table. In other words, they're not going to pay liability claims for people that might have worked in your business and you didn't follow all of the CDC guidelines, they contracted COVID. Insurance company's not paying that. So therefore, you have to go after the employer, and whatever money that the employer has, you got to get it from them. But the insurance company was washing their hands of that type of coverage.
You're right.
And there was one company that was doing what they call a bridge life policy for frontline workers.
Yes. It wasn't Cobra, was it? Because I've heard.
No, it's not Cobra.
Cobra. I don't like Cobra. I had to go through Cobra back in 2005.
Woo. No. Mass Mutual is the name. They're doing a free. You get a free 3-year term policy for frontline workers with a high risk of exposure, such as in-hospital personnel and first responders. They will give you a life insurance policy for 3 years term free. And I think that's a great idea for a company like Mass Mutual, for people to take advantage of that. So if you work in the industry and you need life insurance, call the folks at Mass Mutual. They're giving you a 3-year free term policy.
That's good.
Yep. So a lot of things are happening. People are trying to reshape their business models. People trying to reshape their household finances that have been affected by COVID. I mean, credit cards, like you were talking about, some people are forced to use those in order to daily live.
Yeah. I got something to say that right now. Just talking about that, how people are in a situation where they like, okay, I got my stimulus. I've tried to pay my bills now. I got my unemployment. But then what's next in this revolving situation? So many credit card companies are in a situation where people are on the hook for having large amounts of debt because they waiting on the unemployment, they waiting on the PPP loan.
Yep.
So what do?
You got to use your credit card, man.
You got to use your credit card. So I'm going to give you an example. So it's a couple, manager in this state, Brighton, Michigan, right? They was closed its doors temporarily, and the restaurant industry been through the worst.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody servicing anybody that you got to have a cluster of people, they business basically.
Yeah. Entertainment, restaurants. Yeah. They've been hurting.
So he filed for his unemployment. I'm going to leave his name unknown, right? Service benefits. The business reopened a couple of months later, and he returned to work. His hours were cut in half.
Yep.
So now you go all this time without that, right? Him and his wife managed to keep up with their mortgage payments. The couple found themselves strapped for cash and began to fall on their credit card bills. Now, by September, from March to October, they had racked up $13,000 in credit card debt. So his credit score, first thing they get hit, because now your credit utilization is gone because you got a credit card that was $20,000 that you got it at $13,000.
Yeah, and are you actually making payments too, right?
Yeah. You might be making the minimum, but then depending on the APR on that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you paying 25-30% APR, man.
Man, so I understand the epidemic that's really going on. So then when you look at this, they win a bill, we're going to get you $1,000. I'm like, man, I'm owed $13,000. So the coronavirus has been double-edged sword for some Americans, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where we talk about the income situation. We talk about the stimulus checks last spring, millions of consumers. The first time around, people are like, I'm good. I got a stimulus check. I got unemployment. I'm going to pay my debts down, build my credit. I start getting a lot of calls like that, Tony, with people.
Okay.
I've helped since last year during that time, that March to when the summer ended, almost to that September, I worked with 100 people. I had 100 clients.
Okay.
Because it was times was good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So then now after that period in November, I probably worked with 30. So now it changed.
Uh-huh.
It's 70 less because people are strapped cash right now. They cap strapped.
Yeah.
Strapped for their cash. So now they back into the silo they was in where they go get a credit card. I've been laid off of my job. I'm getting 11 more weeks of unemployment. I can't worry about this other stuff.
No, we won't worry about credit repair. We're just trying to make it right now. Okay, which is going to be another evolution in a probably maybe hopefully 6-7 months things start to open back up. Then they'll be back because they're so deep in credit and in debt that they need some help.
Yeah, we can't get anything. So when you look at this number, and I was thinking, it said on April 15, 2020, the first major wave of checks when they hit in America bank accounts, there were near instantaneous increase in debt payments. So they said 12 million consumers paid their debt off. Them okay. Checks, it's like, I got an extra $1,000, I'm gonna pay a debt down, right? But then they had to manage to stay on top of that credit card bill. So then nearly 7,300 consumers had to pay off at least $1,000 in credit card debt in a month's period. Found that nearly 6 out of 10 borrowers maintained a zero balance on their credit card 3 months later, right? But then, however, in some ways, it's a take of two cities. So then it also says, while a number of Americans haven't been able to pay their debt down a credit card during the pandemic, some people are really struggling because they've been laid off or have their hours cut.
Mm-hmm.
So many of those people don't have a financial safety net. So they've had a set fallback on credit cards only.
Okay.
So like, I was really living check to check when I was working full time. And I was dependent on my wife's income.
Mm-hmm.
So then now when your wife is hit, you like, oh, man, we hit.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
So I'm going to replace my wife's income with a credit card or my income with a credit card while she's still working.
Short term.
Yep.
Short term fix.
So then both of y'all not working, credit card debt there. Now you wait on an unemployment check or another stimulus. And this is the dynamic we dealing with on the other extreme. That's why they're trying to weigh the equation in the Congress and Senate and saying, hey, let's give the people that $50,000 or less. Let's help them. Let's write off $50,000 of student loan. So at least get them a credit boost. So mm-hmm. We don't have enough money to get them out of credit, out of debt. So what's the new equation we have to apply to our system of people? Do we have to increase the minimum wage to $15? What do we have to do? Do we have to work from home to save gas? What?
Well, I just was listening to our station, NPR, on the drive over, and I guess out in California, that they had passed a law to raise the minimum wage to $15. And they gave an example of a company, Kroger, and basically what Kroger did was close some stores. Okay?
They don't want to give everybody $4 more.
Okay. They said, we're just going to have to close some stores. Because you got to remember, they're looking at a profit margin.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We want to maintain a competitive price, right? We don't have to be a Walmart, but we got to be competitive. We can't be, you know, $1, $2 more than the product that's being sold at Walmart, because then ultimately we're going to go out of business too.
Man, right? Kroger got punched by Walmart.
Yeah.
There used to be a Kroger here.
Oh, yeah. Throughout the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Now they're few and far in between, okay? And the other issue that the business owners got, especially restaurants in Michigan, is they say you can open, but with 25% capacity.
Exactly.
Okay? So most businesses operate with a margin of saying, okay, if we always operate at 80% capacity, I should have a profit margin of, you know, 10-12%. And I can make it off of that. But when you throw in it, I can only go 25%, that just creates a whole nother dynamic form, because now you gotta figure out, when I order food, how can I order food from my supplier at a 25% rate versus if they sell things in boxes and
they
crates?
They give you 50, so you only need 25.
Yeah. You know, that's not how it's sold. We don't sell it like that. Okay. How do I plan to staff my people? How do I plan to staff for 25% capacity? So there's a lot of things. And some people have decided that it's not even worth trying to open up. for sitting down, we'll just continue with our takeout, because there's just too many moving parts in order to try to figure out how to manage this 25% capacity and still be profitable. Man. So, another problem for a business owner.
Yep, that's it. So it's like, it's nice, the logistics for them, to how they run their business.
Yeah, yeah. You went from, you know, 0 to 25, but is 25 really enough to make it worth being open?
So then that's going to be the push on Biden when it comes to American made.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All that free trade agreement stuff. You're like, hold on, our country, we need to focus on American made products, because we done. And I was thinking about this. I'm gonna say this to the audience, because this is something we used to say in the hood. So they're like, oh, when somebody they got a repeated grade.
Oh yeah.
So here it goes. It's for our audience. And I was thinking about this, and then Mihan is in the studio too, so I want him to listen. So what happened, man? Well, what happened was, you know, my mama held me back. So I'm 21, but I'm really 20.
Uh-huh.
What happened? My mama being Mother Nature and my father being God held me back because I didn't want to listen to my elders. I didn't want to respect the world I was in. I didn't want to do the right things. So now I'm doing 2020 as a 21-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I look at the year as being the age.
Gotcha.
And so a lot of times we finding ourselves redoing 2020 at 21 years old.
Right. Because 2020 was not very productive.
It's like, you know, I had to do that grade over. My mama and them held me back. Or I had to repeat it.
The concept you're using is probably going to come to fruition in the school system.
That's right. They're talking about extending the year. But Tony, yeah, I'm going to say this. In an urban core, you cannot do that. You can't look at our kids and say, let's get them more schoolwork and hurry it up and they behind.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Schools has been built on institutional racism. I'm just going to say it.
Yes, it has. We know that. Separate but not equal.
Predominantly white institutions has always put tracking systems in place to make sure the haves and the have-nots have a number, but then they appropriate that number differently when it comes to products and services and producing excellent students.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to, everybody, you look at the budget, they got a budget, but then the breakdown of our budget goes into more of health services, social emotional learning, and making sure we catching people back up to speed, because we're all being charted on the same system. So my argument going into repeating 2020 as a 21-year-old is, why not throw out this grading and tracking system and figure out what a kid really want to be and work towards that and connect to community college, where you don't have this overarching university over and you got to get this SAT and all these numbers to say you qualified, mm-hmm, or you a prestigious citizen. Oh, let us put you in a space where you could be effective, and we're going to evaluate you on what you good at.
Okay.
What are you competent at? What do you love to do? Because if we try to say, oh, he got a D in reading, he got a D in math, he just can't do it. So then now our country behind again.
And I think the current administration understands that issue.
So look, I look at it like this, Tony. So it's like, I've been an educator a long time. All right, Tony, you're not good in math, so now I'm going to give you 2 math classes.
I'm gonna flunk 2 math classes now.
I'm right. About to fight you.
Right. Yeah.
Now you give me something that frustrated me 2 times.
Right.
Oh, I told you can't read. Mihai, you can't read. Well, we're about to give you 2 reading classes.
Uh-huh.
What am I doing 2 reading classes?
Yeah, I need to improve my reading, but I don't need to have 2 classes at once, right?
So everybody think that give you more is better.
Mm-mm. No. No, I think you nailed it when you said we gotta redefine what's required of an individual to get him where he needs to be. You know, standardized testing, you know, have always been an issue.
Right? Work keys, not, if you want to say aptitude, what can he do, what he good at? I'm for those. Because
mm-hmm.
Now that puts you into job placement, that puts you in a situation where he has a skill set that we can develop after that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, oh, you're an F. You a number, now I'm classifying you. So then if you don't fit in this space, what other spaces you fit in our economy? You fit in the jail space, you fit in the 6x6, you fit in a probation program,
mm-hmm.
you fit in the court system.
You fit in the drug rehab because we're charting your behavior, your grades. So you don't fit in our traditional system. So I really can't help you.
Right. And we know what that is. That's the recipe for disaster. Yeah. Right.
And that's leading towards the policies that our president are putting in place, like the executive order for reversing the military ban. Now, if they want to serve, let them serve.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah,
I
like, mean, he different. Yeah, I'm different.
Okay. But if you want to serve, and a lot of times guys do well in the military.
That's right.
So have no problem with it.
If he different, so what? Let him get out there.
Yeah. If you want to make it mandatory, if you've exhausted all your options other than jail.
Yeah. And then you got like 100,000 people.
Go to military.
That don't fit the conditional thing. And you're like, oh, you say, oh, he's different or she's different. And it's 100,000 of them and they want to serve in the military. You're like, no, y'all can't come. And you got this military story, this military story. Well, you got this person that got an alternative lifestyle that say, I'm ready to fight.
Yep.
Give me a weapon, train me. I'm ready to do some things for this country.
And the caveat to that is we all know that people have gone to the military and have picked up different skill sets, right?
That's right.
Because they're in a structured environment. And a lot of people thrive. Okay, the problem that they've had is that they've never had a real structured environment, be it at home or what have you. And, yes, sir. And prison is not the structure that we want to see thrive in this country.
Yeah,
I'd rather see him in the military.
I was talking to a student the other day. I was looking at my phone about 6:30. I'm becoming an OG. I'm waking up too early working out or something. So I look at the phone. I said, oh, that's my boy. I got to answer this because he in the Army, right?
Right.
A former young brother I had. So I called. He said, what's up, Mr. Wynn? What's going on, man? I was like, nothing. What you doing? He said, I wake up at 2:30 in the morning. I got to go to work. I do this and I do that. And he was a struggling student.
Okay.
Right? So I say, such and such, what kind of weapons did you even shot? He said, I done shot this, I done got this, I'm licensed for this. But he said, but I'm in communications. I do all the technical internet stuff for the guys. But I'm like, you barely passed math. He said, Mr. Williams, that's not the thing that I barely passed math.
Okay.
He said, I like to communicate. He said, when I used to be with you, I used to always try to talk to them girls. I know how to communicate. He said, I'm communications for the Army.
All right.
When they need something, they need that GPS, I'm the one. I'm the ears on the ground for them.
That's awesome, man.
I was like, wow, the way he explained that to me, I was like, that is your skill. You know how to talk to people and you know how to communicate. He said, so I jumped in communications and I know how to use all the equipment and I know how to use the GPS. He said, I'm not tactical and I'm not into fighting stuff, but I'm into the talking. I said, that was you. That's you.
Okay.
But like you said, the structure's there where if he's not good in math or good in reading or writing, they put him in a competent space, train him up, feed him, working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
now he productive. He ain't in the streets. He ain't here. Mm-mm. He in Atlanta tomorrow. I'm hanging out. When I get done with my PT, I'm good. We go hang out. We do some things. We get times off the base and everything. I'm not saying this for everybody, but then when I look at executive order to buy back America,
okay,
executive order to evaluate Trump's housing policies, who are we gonna put in them houses? Somebody that ain't got a job?
Nope.
Somebody making minimum. Somebody making $5 an hour. Somebody that's selling dope. No, we can't do that.
We don't want that. Nope. Military is the perfect spot. Because military train you just about on every aspect of a community, right? If you go into the Army, you learn how to do all kinds of skill trades. You learn how to use, weapons, of course. Okay. Some guys might come out want to be police officers. I don't know, but I think it's such a platform that we haven't taken advantage of for our youth in America. Because everybody don't go to college. We know that.
Yep.
College is not meant for everybody.
And then it costs too much. And then they reconfiguring that, too. So, man, our show is we get to talking and we over our time, so I'm gonna shut it down.
Okay, we'll get it back next week.
Yeah, we get it back next week. But these are topics that we like talking about, community. I know some people are like, oh, I'm not for the armed services. Well, I got a couple friends that did 20 years and
they look pretty good.
They pull up in all whites, white inside, white inside leather seats, white outside, two homes, working a different job. I'm like, hold on, I should have signed up, but that was their cup of tea.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I know a lot of guys were successful.
Yep. So they found their thing. But they didn't have the structure I had before they went to the military. So they needed that.
They right. You do.
And I appreciate they got it. And they some of my friends and I love them for that. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.